I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Some people dread when you go to the Old Testament. I love to go to the Old Testament. My, what a mighty portrait of the grace of God and the goodness of God to His people, and the way that He'll help us in our time of need. While you're turning to Leviticus 26, let me just give you a background that is probably the most important part of this message. This is written for people that have become a new nation. They have spent 400 years in bondage working for taskmasters down in Egypt. They have never done anything for themselves. They've built some of the greatest craftsmen in all the world. But everything they built was for a wicked king. Everything they built was for somebody else. They've now spent 400 years under what's known as a monarchy. The royalty ruled over them. They would never have their own possessions to speak of, never have any right to climb any higher on social status. They were slaves, and they would remain slaves until one day God, through His miracle power, said after 400 years, enough is enough. And He raises up a servant to go and tell them, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to set my people free. There's quite a few ordeals that take place. Finally, they come to the place of freedom and liberty. Now Pharaoh's army has been drowned. There's a lot of controversy over that. I remember years ago hearing the account of a professor that tried to disprove that miracle. And he said that it's an impossibility that they could have crossed through where they did on that mighty sea on dry ground. It said it really wasn't dry at all. Said it was just the time of the year, and because of the time of the year, some of the water elevation had dropped, and there were sandbars, and they walked across the sandbars in ankle-deep water. There was an old saint of God there started to shout. They said, what are you shouting for? He said, it's a bigger miracle than I thought. He said, well, why would you say that? What's the miracle about walking through an ankle-deep water? He said, no, I wonder how God drowned a whole army in ankle-deep water. See, God knows how to take care of our enemies. God knows how to bring us out of a place of bondage, a place where we thought we'd never experience freedom. And God gives them this glorious freedom. But there's a problem. When you're bound for a long time, freedom sometimes feels strange. Freedom doesn't feel right. Freedom is, what do I do with it now that I've got it? It's not enough to just be free. We've got to know what to do after we're free. Not enough just to be saved and on your way to heaven. When God saves you and forgives you, what then? God doesn't save us to let us just meander through life and try to make it the best we can. And God doesn't look down on us and say, I don't care about the things you're going through. No, He didn't leave them that way. He gave them this book, Leviticus, to give them some guidance, practical guidance, to remind them of some things during the time that their past haunts them. And during the time that they feel weak in the present, God said, you need to know, I'm trying to move you out of a place where you had nothing and you were nothing into a place where you have everything. So He gives them commandments. The commandments taught them about their relationship with God. The commandments was the constitution of their soul and of their liberty. And He gave them not only commandments, but He gave them statutes that we'll read about. The statutes were given Not only do they now realize their relationship with God through commandments, but now statutes are given to help them with the relationships with each other. He said, you're still in a world and you've got to get along with one another and you've got to know how to treat one another. So he gave them statutes that became their civil laws and laws of conduct. It's more than just do's and don'ts. It's telling them how to live right with God and how to live right with others. And we all need that. So that's the principle of what I'm about to read to you. And here's some of the things that he says. Let's pick up in verse 2. He says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. So God first says, there's some responsibilities that you have. And what he deals with, first of all, is the sacred. He's dealing with some sacred things here. You'll see three of them there. Underline the word Sabbaths. Underline the word sanctuary. And underline in verse 3 the word statutes. Now, it's not so much trying to emphasize just the Sabbath or a particular statute or a sanctuary. What he's trying to say here is I'm giving you some things now as a new nation that will prove to the world that you're my child. And by following these things, if you'll keep these things sacred in your life, then what you will receive by taking on the responsibility of regarding the sacred, I will help you in your hour of need. So first he says, remember the sacred. You know what's wrong with this country today? Nothing sacred anymore. He says, you need to remember my day. The Lord's day is not sacred anymore. Just another day. Day off to cut your grass and wash your car. Just another day. God says, that's my day. Really, every day is the Lord's day. But why we take time out on Sundays to come together and worship the Lord, it's because we're saying, Lord, you're the Lord of the Sabbath. And we no longer worship on Saturday from Friday evening to Saturday evening, six Friday evening to six Saturday. We now worship on the first day of the week. But still, it's a day that we say this is a sacred day that we carve out of our life on Sundays to come into the presence of God and to worship the Lord and thank him for what he's brought us from. And not only that, but the sanctuary should be sacred. This is not just another house. This is the house of the Lord. I don't worship the house. I worship the God of this house. But this house has been sanctified for his glory, set apart for his glory. And he's saying, you should reverence the sanctuary. Oh, it bothers me when I see people go into churches and do some of the things they're doing today. It bothers me when suddenly you'll see people in sanctuary. Recently, I happened to have the news on and I watched people break out into a fight in the sanctuary. And I'm thinking, don't you know where you're at? You're in the sanctuary. This isn't my house. It isn't your house. This doesn't belong to Rubyville. This is God's house. Not that he dwells just here, but this has been built for his glory and his honor. And then those statutes, we better regard those. Keep those sacred. There's some things that God will tell you, you do it, and if you do it, you'll treat others right and I'll bless you for it. So he starts by telling them about the sacred. And he said, if you do it, this is what will happen. If you keep the sacred sacred, he says then in verse 4, there then will I give you rain in, what's the next two words? Due season. And the land shall yield her increase and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, which that means the grape harvest. And the vintage or the grape harvest shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. So he first says, if we do that, there's some seasons that he's going to send in our life. He says, at the right time, I'm going to saturate your life. I'm going to send some rain. You may have come through a long dry spell, but God says, I'm going to send some rain. But before the rain comes, he said, don't only look at the rain, but he also says you need to do something before the rain comes. You don't wait until it rains and start planting. You start sowing before it rains. You want the seed in the ground before the rain comes. He says, if you want to be blessed, you're going to have to prepare some things to be blessed. There's some things that you're going to have to do ahead of time. What's wrong sometimes is that we live in the moment and we forget about tomorrow and we plant no seed. And therefore, when the rain comes, there's no seed in the ground to water. And it's all by due season. It doesn't rain all the time. Thank goodness it doesn't rain all the time. The seed would rot. There's times you need the rain. Then he said, there's times you need the harvest. And he said, I'll send the rain at the right time. Oh, he comes right on time. Every time, just the perfect time. Has God done anything for you lately that he came just right at the moment that you needed him the most? Right on time. And he said, and what will happen before long, the blessings will come so fast that the sowing time will bleed over into the harvest time. And while you're harvesting wheat and threshing the wheat, at the same time, the grape crop will come on. And while the grape crop comes on, you'll have to start sowing again. Because it's like the blessings never come. They come in cycles. Notice they're all different. Wheat's not the same as grape. There's a time for planting. There's a time of harvest. But you know what? Listen to what I'm telling you. Don't go too long without a blessing. Don't go too long without a harvest. When you get to the place you go too long without a harvest, pretty soon you'll start finding yourself getting careless and dry. Oh, my friend, God will send the rain right when we need it the most. He'll send the right person at the right time with the right message, with the right song, in the right service. You're not here by chance tonight. The blessed Holy Ghost has brought you here for such a time as this. This is the season. Now is the time. It is due season. God's about to send the rain. Get some seed in the ground. The seasons that he gives us. And then the safety. And I will allow you to dwell safely in your land. Look at verse 6. I'll give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. You ever face something that's bigger than you, meaner than you? He said, I'll take care of the evil beast, and I'll rid them out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land, and you shall chase your enemies. And you shall chase your enemies. And you shall chase your enemies. You tired of the devil chasing you? And you shall chase your enemies, the Bible says. And they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. What's the sword? A picture of the word of God. He's saying it doesn't take very many of us to get right with God, and he'll put the devil to flight and give us just what we need. You say, I don't have any enemies. Well, then why are we making 150 prayer chain calls a week? I'm telling you, we've got enemies. You don't know what you're going to face. The devil would love to put fear in you. Believe me, everybody ought to I tell you what, I can't believe you're sitting down right now, really. I mean, this time a year ago, most of you were in hiding. We were holed up like rabbits. Because the devil said, I'm going to get you. I've sent something to destroy you. An enemy bigger than everyone in this sanctuary. But here we are a year later on a Wednesday night in a church full of people that's praising God and saying, Lord, you said you put our enemy to flight. You said you win the battle for us. You said that you would prevail. Lord, you promised that you'd give us victory. He's the one that runs the enemy out. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, we ought to run the devil out of this place. We ought to stand four square in Jesus' name and declare to the devil tonight, every captive shall be set free. Every sinner shall be saved. Every sick body shall be healed. Every lost soul shall repent. Oh, Lord, rid us of our enemies. Praise God. Well, glory. Well, thank you, Lord. Well, glory to God. Well, glory to God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Lord. He will rid you of your enemies. Tammy came up on the platform right before service. I've been praying with her. You've been praying for her cousin, Larry. Larry didn't get a good diagnosis. And Tammy said all along, if Larry would just get saved. But Larry didn't want to be saved. And she'd go talk to him about the Lord. He didn't want to hear about the Lord. He wasn't a bad man. His mindset was on his past. When you get sick and you're near death and your mindset's on your past, the devil says it's impossible for you to be saved. He's our enemy. 2 days ago, she went in his room and said, Larry, have you been thinking about it? He said, yeah, and I want to do something about it. And Larry got saved. Today, Larry went to be with the Lord. He's in the presence of God. Oh, bless the Lord. I'm telling you, he'll rid us of our enemies. Oh, bless his name. And then he says, I don't know if I can read this or not tonight. When I read this, ever since Sunday, I've been reading this over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, it has been one attack after another against our people. For a solid 2 weeks, it has been one attack after another after another. I'm not airing dirty laundry. Every attack's been different. And some of them have been so far out of my reach and over my head. And the devil said, you absolutely, there's nothing you can do about it. And I lay in bed at night and I remind him, but I know someone who can. I know the one that has all power, that can do all things. I know the one that makes a way when there is no way. I want you to hear what I'm telling you. See, the devil was telling them, you were better off when you were back in Egypt. At least you knew you worked as slaves and you worked, that's all that you knew. But at least you knew you had food on your table and at least you knew you had a place to lay your head at night. Now you're out here serving this one called God and you're out here not knowing where you're going, traveling by faith, not knowing where you're going to wind out, following a man that says there's a land that's filled with milk and honey, but you can't see it right now. You're in the middle of a desert. What do you think you're doing? Look at what you're following. You don't know where your next meal's coming from. Now that's the scene. And God says, for I will have respect unto you. Do you know what that means? You are highly favored. It's what that, well, you say, well, God's no respecter of people, but he's a respecter of principles. And these people took God's commandment and God's statutes at face value. If you'll take God's word at face value, he will move hell for you. Well, what do you mean by that? I don't think there is a devil bound in chains, if they were set loose, that come against you. If you've got God's word and you're on God's side, they can come one right after another, but he has the power of all power to overcome enemy after enemy. Now remember, they're in the desert. They don't have their bags filled with food. They've got the shoes on their feet. They left Egypt in haste. They didn't have time to bring anything with them. By the way, don't bring anything out of Egypt with you. Get out of it as quick as you can and don't look back. I mean, don't turn around. Don't be like Lot's wife. Don't turn around and look back. There's nothing worth looking back to. All of that's behind you now. God's taking you forward and moving you forward. And the devil says, now you left everything behind. It might have been leeks and garlic, but at least it was something. But God says, verse 10, and ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. Well, what does that mean, preacher? Well, let me put it this way. We're blessed by our people that occasionally they give, you all give Candy and I everything we need. I mean, we've got canned peaches. You gave us the peaches. We've got frozen corn in the freezer. You gave us the corn. When we have grape juice, you give us the grapes. We have meat in our freezer. And this year, somebody called up and said, we're bringing you some beef, preacher. I told Candy, we can't get the old eaten quick enough for the new to come on. It's coming quicker than we can eat it. Oh, bless his name. Sometimes I hear people, they'll say, oh, you can preach that kind of stuff, preacher. I see you and I know. I see what you have and I know what you've done. But they won't go back in your life and remember a time where that you had to sell everything you owned to pay hospital bills, had no health insurance, and traveling full time with two kids, trying to live on $160 a week. And God never let us go hungry one time. God said, I promise you, before you take the last bite, I've got another caravan coming up the other side of the mountain. My store will never run out. I'll give you all that you need and more and more and more. My suits were threadbare. Candy said, you got to go get some new suits. And I said, man, they're expensive. I said, if I spend all that money on suits, I won't be able to give more money to the Lord. Brother Doar, there's a man, he's got 8 suits in his hand, and he goes out to the car and gets 5 more tags on. He said, God laid it on my heart to give you these suits, preacher, and if they fit you, you just go ahead with it. If not, you let me know. I said, whoa. Did you say God told you to give them to me? He said, yeah. I said, don't worry about it. God knows my size. You hear me? I'd rather drink water from a jelly jar and know if I'm living in a shack here that I'm serving God as to have it all and miss heaven. Surplus, not about possessions, about grace. 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 More and more grace. What are you trying to do, preacher? I'm trying to get you out of Egypt. And not only do I want your body out of Egypt, I want your mind out of Egypt. We didn't get out of Egypt to look back to Egypt and love Egypt. I declare some folks loved being a sinner more than they love serving God. And you hear me? It's a lot easier to fall than it is to climb. To fall, all you got to do is let go. You just let go of the preaching like I've been preaching to you. And the preaching you hear, right? You let go of God's word. You let go of prayer. You let go of faith. I promise you, I assure you, you'll fall. But I also promise you this. If you keep climbing. You say, I don't have the power and strength to get up there here tonight. Listen, if you come, I want everyone in here. I don't know who's got a burden. I don't know who's in sin. If they step out, I'm asking you as your pastor to do this. I want at least 5 of you beside of them. If they've got a burden, I want at least 5 of you beside of them. Why? We're going to put them to flight tonight. We're going to let God rid you of your enemies.